Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of a day for the 12th of Iyar. We begin by thanking the OU, Rabbi Jacob Bromwich, David Hachazer, for helping us put this Yerim online. Today we're going to see a response of Shut Divrei Yatziv from Chelek Or Chaim Simon Tzaditet, from the Or Chaim section, the response of number 99. The response was from the 12th of Iyar of Tufshin Mem Gimel of 1983. The Shut Divrei Yatziv, I should give a little bit of introduction, is written by Rabbi Yekutiel Yehuda Halberstam, who was born in 1905, was a descendant of Rav Chaim of Sanz. I think he must have been like a grandson or a great-grandson. He was born in Galicia in 5765 in 1905 and passed away in Kiryat Sanz in Netanya in 5754 in 1994. So before World War II, he was the Rebbe of Klosenberg, so he was later known as the Klosenberger Rebbe, in Transylvania, and they went to the concentration camps. And his wife, 11 children, most of the community were brutally murdered. He himself survived, I'm not sure how, but he did. And then after the war, it seems like, I'm not sure he ever remarried, but I don't think he ever had children, whether or not he remarried. So he helped the survivors in the DP camps, and he made his way to the States, and he recreated the Hasidus. So Sanz had also been decimated, so he regenerated Sanz Klosenberg, Hasidus in New York. Then he went to Eretz Yisrael, he founded Kiryat Sanz in Netanya, including Laniado Hospital, and several Torah institutions as well, including Mif'al HaShas, which I think gives tests to people as they learn Shas to make sure they're learning it well, but then gives them support, financial support, for the learning. And then after he passed away, they gathered his responsa and were published. The Or Chaim section was published in 1996, which was a couple of years after he passed away, in two volumes, and then 2 years later they published two volumes in Yerodea. So we occasionally get the chance to learn from him. It's important. He's a tremendous Talmid Chacham. There's a tremendous amount. But he comes from a certain Hasidic kind of view of the world, which doesn't always match exactly in halachic terms. And I don't mean the questions of like Hasidus and its other manifestations. You know, today, recently, somebody asked about new Hasidut. And I was talking about it a little bit, and it has very little to do with the actual Hasidic stuff that we're talking about in terms of approach to halacha and stuff like that. And that's what we care about in this series. So he's going to today raise a question where Hasidic practice seems to have been very different than, I don't know what the other word for it would be, non-Hasidic practice would have been. Although along the way, he's going to raise sources that he can read his way that we'll have to think about for our terms. The question he was asked was about the custom that they, the Klosenberger Hasidim and other Hasidim, have to daven mincha after the sunset. So before we can get to the tshuva, really, sunset is a, it sounds like in modern English, people treat sunset as if it's this clear, understandable word. And I think if you asked most Jews, even observant Orthodox Jews, they'd say sunset. Oh yeah, that's when the ball of the sun descends beyond the horizon line. That's sunset. That's a complicated question in halacha. It's a complicated question in halacha for two reasons. The more obvious and well-known reason is that based on, and this is not our topic today, so I'm going to do this very briefly, but based on different sugyot in the Gemara, based on different presentations within discussions in the Gemara, there has arisen the assumption that there are actually two views of how Shkia works in halacha. One view is that Shkia works, like I just said, it's the ball of the sun descending from the horizon, that's Shkia, and then some number of minutes later, 20, 15, 30, whatever the number may be, the stars come out, and that's night. So that's a fairly simple, and this is, I think, the most widespread vision of how it works halachically. The ball of the sun goes down, that Shkia, and anything that's supposed to be done by Shkia has to happen by then, and then however many minutes later, it depends on the time of the year and stuff like that, however many minutes later, night, the stars come out, and that's full nightfall. And the time between that is called Bein HaShmashot. So whenever you have halacha, Kabbalah of Bein HaShmashot, that would be the time between that. But, and this is important to know, there's another perspective. It's the perspective of Rabbeinu Tam. It mostly comes up for people when they talk about whether you keep Rabbeinu Tam Shabbos or not, which would mean that Shabbos ends much, much later than the other view sees it as. And those you'll have people who will end Shabbos, 45 minutes later, or 15 or 20, depending on your vision of Rabbeinu Tam, later than everybody else. But where it comes from is Rabbeinu Tam held that if you read the discussion of the Gemara correctly, you'll find out that there's a beginning of Shkia and an end of Shkia. The version of Shkia that I gave the first time was just the sun sets. And that's sort of Shkia, that sunset. And it maybe takes a minute or two, but it's nothing any significant. Rabbeinu Tam held that the Gemara held that there was a beginning of sunset. Where that starts, most people today assume that it starts at what we call sunset, what everybody else calls sunset, the ball of the sun going really down beyond the horizon line. And then some large number of minutes later, there's the end of sunset. And the end of sunset is I'm trying to remember, it might be 45 minutes later, even 72 minutes later, some large number of minutes later, according to Rabbeinu Tam, and only then after that will the stars come out. So that's important for our for this response. That's why I'm mentioning it, because the terms of the beginning of sunset and the end of sunset will all assume the Rabbeinu Tam version of this issue. I will also mention that many years ago I happened to spend a Shabbos in Lakewood, and as I was going to shul with the cousin who was hosting me, we were going to shul at the time, but you know, regular Shabbos starts for people I had ever known in my life, and I saw these people who were driving and walking and violating what I thought was going to be Shabbos as if there were no problem. And I mentioned that to my cousin. It's like it was a pretty Orthodox place. So this was 30 years ago. Maybe it's not true anymore. But he said, oh, yeah, because those people hold Rabbeinu Tam Shabbos, meaning that there were people at the time who kept Shabbos, who kept sunrise and sunset and stars coming out fully according to Rabbeinu Tam time. So when you do it at the end of Shabbos, it's just a stringency. When you do it at the beginning of Shabbos, it gives you so much more time on a Friday afternoon. And then he pointed out to me that the Shulchan Aruch seems to rule that we follow the Rabbeinu Tam version of sunset and stars coming out. Halachically today, that's not what most people do, but it is out there in the book. So that's something worth thinking about. I'll also mention, again without getting into it, that many years ago in a journal called Badad, Bet Dalet Dalet, Chol Drachecha Da'e, which is put out by Bar Ilan, I think it's in volume 14, I had an article where I claimed, I still believe it's true, that people have misunderstood the term sunset as far as the Gemara had it, and that the ball of the sun setting below the horizon line is much less significant in halacha than people think, and nobody ever paid attention to that article as far as I know. Actually, I got one response from an important scientist who's also a halachic, well-known halachic authority, and I had a little interchange with him, but in terms of halacha, I don't think it's made any impact whatsoever. So for this tshuva, we're going to know these two facts, that we, most people, use the sunset as the ball of sun going beyond the horizon line, and this is Rabbeinu Tam sunset, which has a beginning and an end, the beginning being the ball of the sun going beyond the horizon line, and then the end being much, much later, I think 72 minutes later being when it is. I think it's 3 1/4 meal or 3 1/3 meal, it depends how long you think a meal is, but I think it's an hour later is when sunset would be, and then stars coming out would be even later than that, and some people have it longer than that. So, question was, how do we allow ourselves to daven mincha beyond Shkiat HaChama? The person asks the question when he says Shkiat HaChama, I'm pretty sure he means the ball of the sun going down beyond the horizon line. He says, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, right, that we mentioned that has this longer sunset, he thinks it doesn't make sense though, because the Gemara, the Tosfot and Zevachim say that Rabbeinu Tam held that when you have blood of a korban, let's remember that when it came to the korban, no, it's sacrifices, the essential vehicle of the sacrifice was the matan damim, was the giving of the blood on the mizbeach. There were other parts that went with sacrifices too, but the giving of the blood was a central part of it. So it might be that you're going to burn the fats, it might be that you'll end up eating some of the meat or not eating some of the meat. There's all that about korbanot as well. But the offering of the korban was at its basic point, the offering of the blood. So if you have blood that has to be offered from that day's korban, Rabbeinu Tam held that it was nifsal b'shkiat hachama. That's the Gemara says. That when the sun goes down, when there's a shkiat hachama, when there's sunset, whatever that means, we have to get to it, but when there's a sunset, that it passels the blood. The blood can no longer be given. Meaning the blood has to be sprinkled that day. Theoretically, you should sprinkle the blood right away, but let's say there's not a chance. There's not a kohen available. There's not mum on the mizbeach available. There's something else going on that means that you can't do it. Whatever the technical circumstances would be that would lead to the problem, if the blood was not given before the sun set, so then it's possible. Rabbeinu Tam, and that Tosfos is reported as having held that it was tchilat hashkia, which we would mean the sun going down beyond the ball of the rise, beyond the horizon line. The reason why the person asked the question mentioned that is because there is a tradition that mincha, the praying of mincha, reflects the korban tamid shel ben harbayim, reflects the sacrifice of the afternoon. And if the sacrifice of the afternoon, the blood of the sacrifice of the afternoon can no longer be given, halakhically is no longer able to be given, then it would seem to mean that mincha cannot be said as well. So that's his question. How do we allow ourselves to have mincha so late? Now the first part of the Klausenberger Rebbe's of Divrei Yativ's answer is itself very revealing, because he says it's a pela be'inai. I'm surprised, I'm shocked that you thought to yourself to raise a question about a custom that goes way back, that's been accepted and done by great scholars and righteous people that I've seen. My grandfather, a great-grandfather, the Sanzer Rebbe, his custom was to daven mincha, when it looked like it was night outside. And he would say, tachanun, so there's a custom and tradition that we don't say tachanun pashkia, but he would say tachanun. So he clearly held that he was doing the right thing. So how are you asking the question? The truth is, I think that he maybe went a little far here, because the man asking the question might not have been saying, how can we do this? He might have been saying, how can we do this? But in any case, he takes somewhat umbrage at it, and he says you shouldn't be questioning such long-standing customs, which itself is an attitude, right? That's an attitude already. To say you shouldn't be questioning it is an attitude. And he reports the custom of his grandfather, great-grandfather, the son's Rebbe. I just looked it up on Wikipedia. He was the great-grandson of the son's Rebbe. He says, and my great-grandfather, it was the word was that he would daven, you know, when it already seemed like it was that uptight. And he said, tachanun. Also, my father-in-law in my first marriage, so I guess he did have a second marriage. Oh, I can look it up on Wikipedia now. And I was wrong. He and his second wife had 5 daughters and 2 sons. And his sons succeeded him as one is the sons of Rebbe of Netanya and one is the cousins of the bigger sons Rebbe of New York. So I was wrong. His second wife was a woman named Chaya Nechama Unger, who was the daughter of the Nitra Rav. Anyway, so he did build the whole life, but he did a lot of other good as well. So from his first marriage, from before the war, his father-in-law, who was a Torah scholar himself, he said he heard from him that in the Beis Medrash of the Chasam Sofer, which is interesting information because Chasam Sofer was not a chassid, although he had some Kabbalistic customs, he said that there in that Beis Medrash, and after somebody passes away, in fact, the Beis Medrash does something that doesn't always reflect who they were. I remember one of my teachers, Rabbi Chaim, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, mentioning to me that his father, the Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, who we often call the Rav, had said that when he was in Vilna once, he went to the Groz Kloj, meaning the little shul with the Vilna Gaon at Davin, and he saw there that they did several things that were against the custom the Gro himself says is what you should do. And when he asked the Gabbai about it, the Gabbai said, this is what we do, this is what we do. So the fact that they did it in the Chasam Sofer's basement just doesn't mean the Chasam Sofer would have been happy about it, but they would Davin Mincha very late. And so too, somebody else, Sofer, says that he heard from his father, the Baal Shevet Sofer, who was, these are all descendants of the Chasam Sofer, whose last name was Schreiber, and everybody called their thing Sofer. So the Chatam Sofer, as descendants also said that they knew that they davened late in the base, and that was their custom. And so he too, he says, when he was in Skull, when he was a young man, and the Belzer Rebbe came one time, he started davening in Mincha like 70 minutes after Shkia. So 70 minutes is pushing, because I think we generally assume that the stars come out for Rabbeinu Tam 72 minutes after Shkia. Some people hold that it's 90 minutes after Shkia, but the Belzer Rebbe, I think, seems to have held that it was 72 minutes, but he started davening 70 minutes after Shkia, and he davened very quickly, and he managed to finish before the stars came out. But all of that shows that these people were allowing themselves to daven beyond the Shkia, the setting of the ball of the sun. So how could that, so the fact they're doing it shows that it's okay, and therefore this person should have been questioning in the way that he was questioning it. So that tells us about the blood becoming puzzle once the beginning of Shkia arrives, once the ball of the sun setting beyond the horizon line happens, says the Divrei Yativ. That's a well-known question. People talk about it often. It comes from the starts of the Gemara in Brachos Chavav and Aleph, where the Gemara says, Tfilat HaMincha, in the Gemara in Brachos Chavav and Aleph, Tfilat HaMincha was at Erev. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama, and taken to be the opinion of Chachamim, that it goes until Erev. That word Erev, we're going to have to figure it out. It means something about Shkiat HaChama, about sunset, but we're not sure what. And then Rehuda Omer Ad Plag HaMincha. Rehuda held until Plag HaMincha, which was half the time between Mincha Ketana, which was 9.5 hours of the day. But remember that hours in the Mishnah and Gemara is based on a 12-hour day, and then adjusted depending on sunrise and sunset, or the first break of dawn and stars coming out. That's another debate that comes up about times of the day in Halacha. So Plag HaMincha is at 10 hours and 45 minutes, which in a 12-hour day would be 4:45 in the afternoon, but you have to adjust it. In any case, that's the debate in the Mishnah. Tavir B'Yonah there says that you can't say that Ad HaErev means until the stars come out, because that would be nighttime. So it can't be that. So Ad HaErev must mean Shkiat HaChama. And then he quotes his Gemara in Zvachim that how do you know that the blood is Nisla v'Shkiat HaChama? So he takes it to be Shkiat HaChama. Now again, for Rabbeinu Tam's view, you still need to know, do we mean beginning of Shkia or end of Shkia? So Rabbeinu Yonah Tamid Ben Yonah on Brachos seems to assume that it's the beginning of Shkia because that's what parallels the blood issue, and they're linked together. So that would be unequivocal that that's the time for Mincha. The latest time for Mincha is sunset. Omnam Bishagas Aryeh Siman Yud Zayin Harik Tuva. But the Shagas Aryeh in Siman Yud Zayin talks about a lot. Shagas Aryeh is not a Hasidic figure at all. He's pre-Chassidut, and he's an important Acharon, and he talks about these words of the Tosfos, and he thinks that if you pay attention, and we're not getting into the Sukkiyah, and he does a whole long discussion of it, that if you pay attention to the Sukkiyah, that when the Dam gets Nifsal, gets invalidated by sunset, it's not the beginning of Shkia. He suggests, he argues, it's the end of Shkia. It's right before the stars come out. And then he says, and that's what he thinks the opinion of the Rambam is. And we're not getting to the text, we're not getting to the proofs of this issue. It's just the point is to say that once you have an Acharon who claims that, that supports now the Divrei Yativ's position that there's room to say you can daven Mincha till then, because the whole parallel to the blood, to the dam, now isn't a problem, because that too was done in this view all the way up until the end of the Shkia. And therefore his conclusion is that, yeah, you can daven Mincha really right pretty much up until the stars come out. And then somebody else, in Be'er Mordechai, from Mordechai Banet, he claimed that even Rabbeinu Yonah had not meant the beginning of Shkia, he meant the end of Shkia. And in the other world, the other way, that the Torah's Chesed is another book of Shut, and he said that the truth is that anybody who says it was before the end of the Shkia hadn't seen Rabbeinu Tam. If you look at Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yashar, he holds very clearly that when we say Dam Nifsal, it means the end of Shkia. So again, if you understand Rabbeinu Tam in the way that most people do, and I am unable to resist saying that I think that it's a problem because it ends up that the people who think of, meaning we, I think mostly you encounter Rabbeinu Tam in the context of Rabbeinu Tam Shabbos, and all it means is you keep Shabbos a little bit later. But here we're saying that halachically, if you accept the position of Rabbeinu Tam as it's mostly and generally understood, you end up having this belief that Shkia, that the sunset, continues on until much, much later, right? Until I think an hour after what we call sunset. And like they said early on the Tshuva, and it can look like it's really totally night outside, and yet people still think that it's before Shkia. And there have been a Tam version. So I think if you look at those two, you find out that Rabbeinu Tam doesn't really hold that way, but nobody agrees with me, and certainly the Divrei Yativ doesn't agree with me. So I think it's clear that Rabbeinu Tam seems to have held that you can daven Mincha until the end of Shkia. The end of Shkia would be whenever he held the end of Shkia was. Okay? So that's an important crux of what we're talking about here. So too, and that goes to Maimonios in the third chapter of Hilchos Tefillah, when he points out that we don't tend to follow Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda had an earlier cutoff for Mincha. He thought you can only time Mincha until Plaga Mincha, and he says, so the Hagos Meronios says, no, the general Jewish custom is to daven Mincha until, to follow the opinion that says Ada Erev, right? And that would seem to mean until the end of Erev, and he gives a couple of other sources that I'm going to skip down just because they are technical and don't add very much to our conversation about whether or not we really believe that it's Ada Erev. And then Rashi, when he had Ada Erev, now Rashi came before Rabbeinu Tam, so it's possible that Rashi didn't know there was such a thing as Tekilas Hashkia and End of Hashkia, meaning Rabbeinu Tam has a new idea. The question is, does Rashi know that idea? So I think in many cases Rashi didn't. So Rashi may have assumed that Shkia was just Shkia. There wasn't the beginning and end. But when Rashi defines Shkia, defines sunset, he says Ad Chashecha. They have to figure out, does Ad Chashecha mean? What does Ad Chashecha mean? I would generally assume that by Ad Chashecha he means until the sun has set, whatever those words mean, right? Whatever the halachic definition of sunset is. But that halachic definition of sunset is considered Chashecha in the sense that there's no more sun on the earth, therefore the earth is darkened. But the Minchas Kohen is one of the earliest achronim that I know of to have discussed these issues and to have noted the problems that Rabbeinu Tam view creates. And Rashi view creates, try to discuss times of day in halacha, and he understood Rashi to mean until Tzedek Kochavim. So not Rabbeinu Tam Tzedek Kochavim perhaps, but the idea being that you can daven Mincha until the stars come out, which would extend the time for Mincha, depending on your perspective, relatively greatly. So that's what the Minchas Kohen held, and that many poskim understood it that way as well. Ma'arikid had said that it was clear that according to Rabbanu, when we say Ada Erev, it doesn't mean until the sun sets, it means until it's just about night. And a proof of that for him is that the pasuk says, Ba'erev tochlu matzot, that when it comes to the night of the 15th of Nisan, meaning the night after the 14th of Nisan, it says, Ba'erev tochlu matzot, there it clearly means, Ba'erev clearly means at night. at night after the stars come out, because that's when the time is that you eat matzah for the sake of matzah of mitzvah. So therefore, he says, it shows, if you see Ba'erev, that Ad Ha'erev now, you could say that the Mishnah's language is not beholden to the language of the Torah in terms of the eating of matzah, but it's not a non-proof. He's pointing out the word Ba'erev can sometimes mean night, and therefore, the Ba'arik seem to have held that way about davening mincha as well. And then there's a Rambo who says, Adalayla, Zayin Tetz Kochavim. That we see, you can do something until night, we mean until Tetz Kochavim. After until Tetz Kochavim would be when you could do it till. So there seems to be lots and lots of room to suggest that you can daven mincha beyond or at the end of what we would call Shkia, however that works. Now, if you hold Beri Bino Tam and you understand Beri Bino Tam to mean that Shkia, the end of Shkia is 60 minutes after what we call Shkia, that leaves you a lot of extra time. In our times, and there's not in this tshuva, and I'm not sure why, but I think I once upon a time saw a tshuva, a response of Moshe Feinstein's, where he said that his tradition was that even after what we call Shkia, what in the ordinary way of viewing Shkia, the sun, the ball of the sun setting beyond the horizon line, he thinks that in the time between that and Tzedek Kochavim, it's clear that sunset happens somewhere in there. And it's not like, it's not the ball going down beyond the horizon line is sunset, it's that that's when we have to worry that sunset might have happened, and we don't know when after that it happens. And therefore, I think he holds la halacha, that you have like 8 minutes after sunset to daven mincha as well. So if you take that logic and just apply it in a rabbinic time view of the world, it is supporting the idea that we have beyond the beginning of Shkia, we have until we know that Shkia is over in order to be allowed to daven mincha. And then you might have argued that maybe you don't pass like Rabbanan. The truth is, I wouldn't even ask that, because in my world, we definitely pass like the Rabbanan, because Rabbi Yehuda would put daven mincha so much earlier. But if you're holding that your father Rabbeinu Tam Shkia, which is much, much later, then in that world, by the way the timing works out, and he mentions it here at the Tshuva, then it turns out that the Plaga Mincha time would seem to be much later than we today think it is. It ends up being very close to what we today call Shkia, what those who don't hold Rabbeinu Tam call Shkia. So you might have thought that, no, we really rule like Rabbi Yehuda. He should be following that, and that puts you into Davin Mincha just before what we call Shkia. But the Gemara there doesn't say we rule like anybody. The Gemara says, D'avad kimar avad, D'avad kimar avad. If you want to follow this opinion, that's fine. If you want to follow that opinion, that's fine. And the smag and the eerie sound like, that's only b'di'evit. But the Hashlam and the Sefer HaMal wrote, and there's a Yesomer in the Meiri, right? There are a lot of opinions who say no, that we follow the Rab, we can follow Rabbanan Lechatkila, which isn't surprising to the Jews that I grew up among, because they held that Shkia meant sunset, the ball of the sun going beyond the horizon line. But it is surprising to the Rabbeinu Tam crew a little bit, because that puts Mincha so much later. But nonetheless, he's saying that there is room to say that we're allowed to follow that opinion Lechatkila, and he's already shown that if you follow that opinion Lechatkila as the way to keep Judaism, it lets you daven until the end of Shkia, and you're doing the fine right thing. To me, a lot of what's interesting about this tshuva is that it's a reminder about how much establishing important basic, not halachic facts, but scientific facts and halachic facts can be to the understanding of the sigur. Meaning, in my experience of this whole discussion, and again, nobody agrees with me about this issue, but my experience, if it were to be true, the people took Rabbeinu Tam in a direction that he didn't mean to go, and they all assume that, that creates this interesting situation where it may be true that you have lots and lots of Jews who have taken something and understood it a certain way, and then they build up a whole tradition of understanding around it, around that certain way, when there's a basic fact that wasn't a halakhic fact, it was an understanding of the words he meant and the terms that he was using to identify something, right? You know, let's imagine I said to you, this is another place where it comes up. Let's suppose I sit here, you know, dam nida has to be red. For a woman to be halachically considered a nida, the dam that has come out has to be red. So the truth is, there are all sorts of shades that we worry about. There's the browns that we worry about, whatever it is. But let's say I used it basically fundamentally to be red. And then it happens to be that at some time in history, for whatever reason, the definition of red gets changed, and we all assume that X is red when the Gemara really meant that Y was red, and the halacha meant that Y was red. And we don't realize it. It's not that we decided. We don't even realize that it's changed. That will create a whole set of issues that will come up. To my mind, some of this comes up with the sunset issue, but in any case, in the Divrei Yativ, he is pointing out that there are plenty of halachic sources that say you can go till the end of Shkia, and therefore that you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to do that Lechatkila. And that's especially true because there is this source, like I mentioned before, the Magen Avraham says that the Plaga Mincha that Yehuda speaks about is actually only like 3 minutes ahead of Shkia. So, if that's true, I think it's not quite true, but we can get into it. Meaning the Magen Avraham is talking about Plaga Mincha, and he's talking about a beginning of Shkia, I think, that was much earlier than what we today think it was the beginning of Shkia, and therefore, but for the Divrei Yativ, for the Klausenberger Rebbe, you see a Magen Avraham that says that, then for sure you think it's got to be that Milcha can go till the end of Shkia, because it makes no sense that Rebbe Yehuda and Chacham would be having this machloket about 3 minutes. Right? Which, that part of it I fully agree with. And therefore, he seems to him that it's very clear that we must be talking about the Chacham must have held that Milcha can go till the end of Shkia, especially since there's a Gemara that says that from the beginning of Shkia, or it says from Shkia, and you have to figure out what from Shkia means, but from Shkia, it says, is enough time to walk 5 mil, and 5 mil is generally considered to be about 90 minutes or more than that. So it's unclear what those terms would mean. You'd have to go back and figure out what those terms mean. Not getting into it now, but that would all be part of this discussion. That's his basic answer. But once he's on the topic, he says, I want to talk about something else briefly, and I think this is also interesting and worth our while to think about and consider. There's a Rashi in Tani, Gemara in Tani just talked about, to understand this, we should remember that the prayer we call Ni'ilah, which in our experience today only happens on Yom Kippur, was actually a prayer that was supposed to be said on any public fasting. We don't really have public fastings anymore, but any public fasting is supposed to have a ni'ilah. So what happens if you're so involved in the busyness of, in the business of the day, right? Fast days were for repentance, and you'd have speakers, and you'd have people trying to encourage people to repent, and you'd have to have a long shacharis, and maybe a long musaf, and then you would say, you'd have shacharis, musaf, then mincha, and ni'ilah. So let's say you get to a point where you still have to say mincha and ni'ilah, and it's late in the day, you're not sure which one you're going to get to, and it's already time for mincha, but you could say ni'ilah, and you know what? So which one do you do? So the Gemara says, or Rashi says, halalu divrei Torah. So Rashi explains that mincha is considered divrei Torah. It's considered biblical because Yitzchak established mincha. As the verse says, "Vayisay Yitzchak lasuach pasaderet." The Gemara, that's the Gemara in Brachos that says that we think Yitzchak established mincha from that pasuk that says that he went out lasuach, and we think this verb lasuach indicates prayer. So the problem with that is that Rashi seems to be saying that milcha is a d'oraita, is a biblical obligation, and nobody thinks that milcha is a biblical obligation. So Klausenberger Rebbe Divrei Yatziv says, "Umatzati bigvurot Ari," which is also by the Shagas Aryeh, I'm pretty sure that yes, he wrote the Shagas Aryeh, and he wrote the Turi Evin, which is on Gemara, as well as the Gvurot Ari on Gemara. So the Gvurot Ari that the Klausenberger Rebbe is quoting said, first of all, he was bothered by the fact that Rashi could say mincha, Yitzchak established mincha, because there's an opinion in the Gemara in Brachot which says that the fixed prayers that we have were established to correspond to the Tmidim, the sacrifice, the daily sacrifice of the Beit HaMikdash. So if that's true, then Yitzchak establishing mincha has no meaning for us, and therefore it's not d'oraita in any way whatsoever. The Yad David also raised that question, and the answer that was suggested was maybe you could say what Rashi meant was that it has a smach in the Torah, that it has some kind of a reference in the Torah. The fact that Yitzchak did it means that even if we later on established our mincha for a different reason, but mincha is an activity that has a basis in the Torah, whereas Ne'ilah has nothing. It was just Chazal created it, and therefore it was part of our prayers, but it doesn't weigh in as heavily as Mincha. Another option that was raised or suggested by the Zichron Yosef was Talmud Chacham, who was the father-in-law of Yehoshua Pick, in his book Yesh Teda LeMishnah. He had suggested it meant the Hechmiru Bo Kishel Torah. They just decided that Mincha should be as important. So that's not quite in the words of Rashi, but the idea would be maybe that since Yitzchak does it, that when Chazal established it, even though they established it for some completely different reasons, they decided to give it the severity of a biblical law. Or it could be that the meaning was that these are things that are mentioned in the Torah, even though we don't follow that for that. That's not the reason we do it. But nonetheless, it would be like a takanat nevi'im, like something that the nevi'im established, and therefore we would follow for that reason. O yesh lomar, or you could say, devil lo tiknu achovah lechol yom, rak lirishut ulifrakim. Or you could say that, no, that we in fact follow the Yitzchak establishing mincha, except that Yitzchak didn't say you have to have mincha every day. He said, when you feel like there's a need for a prayer, you daven mincha. When there's a feel that sometimes you want to do it, then you daven mincha. And Chazal made it like the Tmidim. So that would mean that even if you hold the opinion that it was to correspond to the fixed sacrifices, the fixed communal sacrifices, it doesn't mean they were ignoring the Avot establishment. They were making it more regular and more permanent in terms of its rhythm and when it happened. But it really all was still based on Yitzchak. Then you could say it doesn't have, in fact, a biblical source and some kind of biblical standing. And the Meiri offered another option that maybe it doesn't mean that it's from the Torah, just that it means that it appears every day like from the Torah. It only happens on fast days. Klausenberg Rebbe himself says that the simplest reading of Rashi, he thinks, is that Mincha is the most clear in the verse, because the other prayers are derived from terms that he feels are much less obvious. For Avraham, it says Vayashkem Avraham el makom asher amad sham t'elokim, and then we say Baramida means prayer. So you could say, well, but that's a drash, because amad really means to stand before. And so too, when it says Vayif Gaba Makom, when Yaakov stops in a place to sleep there, so there's another puzzle that says that verb of paga can refer to prayer, but again, it's a drasha. Whereas with Vayitzchak Lasuach Basadeh, so Lasuach really fundamentally means to talk, to converse, but who's he talking and conversing with? So therefore, it's much more clear, he thinks, to Rashi. That would be why Rashi says that it's still right. That what he means is not that it's established biblically, but that it really appears in its clear, open form, and its open discussion in the Torah that Yitzchak was praying at this time. And then, if that were true, if you paired that with the Rambam's view, says the cousin of Rebbe, you bet that with the Rambam's view that we have to pray once a day, that would be the once a day, because that's the one that's established in the Torah. The fact that we later got used to doing it in chakras and sort of fulfilling our biblical obligation already in the morning wouldn't change the fact that when the Torah established the obligation, the prayer that was known already was the Mincha one. So there's a little bit more than tshuva, but that's fundamentally where he comes out on this question of why it is, how it is that Rashi can call it biblical. And his answer is basically that it has biblical standing, it has biblical sourcing, it has biblical referent, but in some sense it's biblical as opposed to Ne'il. And that is a responsible day for the 12th of the Iyar for the Klausenberg Rebbe. First talking about Mincha, and that's how it connects to this conflict that we had, first talking about Mincha and its timing and how late it can go, and then talking about Mincha and referring to a Mincha as having been established alright, and what the biblical status of Mincha would be. That is the close of Rebbe 12th of the Iyar. Thanks to the OU, thanks to Rabbi Jacob Bromwich and David Hochhauser. Have a great day.